Okay, and shot is down. Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Banff Podcast. I am your cheerful and sugarbook host, Mike Lafferty. And with us today, a couple of regular co-hosts and a honored guest, Mr. Steve Kenson.
Hey, everybody. Nice to be here.
It's very nice to have you, Steve. And we have a frequent co-host, Mr. Walt Rebilliard.
I always love being here.
We always love having you. And we have Adrian Smith from the UK. How are you doing, Adrian?
Pretty good, thank you.
Thanks. And Walt and Adrian are both involved in the glorious Dark City for Icons project. And so is Steve, who's kind of kind of our Jor-El sort of... He is the cameo that lends credibility to everything we're doing.
Hey, as long as Marlon Brando is playing me, I'm perfectly fine with that.
It's hard to beat that, isn't it? Yeah. When they do the movie in my life, I'm probably going to get Gary Busey playing me, so.
Which would also be awesome.
In a whole different way. Plan 9 from Outer Space, kind of awesome. So Steve, I'd love to talk icons with you, but I understand that's kind of your future plans are kind of under wraps. So for this podcast today, we will focus on the new Kickstarter for Mutants and Masterminds. And could you tell us a little bit about what's going on with that?
Yeah, basically, this year is the 10th anniversary, I can hardly believe it, of the first edition of Mutants and Masterminds. And so to mark the occasion, Green Ronin wanted to do a special anniversary edition of the book, of the Heroes Handbook, the core rule book for the game. And we had planned on doing a just a regular hardcover edition of the Heroes Handbook, which we're still planning on doing, called the Deluxe Heroes Handbook. But we also wanted to look at the possibility of doing something, you know, special for the anniversary, and to make sure that there was a market for it and that we could, you know, that we could prove that it was viable to do it, we decided to turn to Kickstarter for it. And so we put together a whole plan for it and shot the video, and apparently, you know, folks are really interested in it, because we hit fully funded within, I want to say, like, the first couple of days. So,
and you're about 18, sorry, you're less than $100 shy at 15K right now, and your goal was 10K. So,
yeah, we're very close to our second stretch goal, which is adding in the material from the Quick Start character generator into the anniversary edition book, which I really want to be able to do, because that's a super useful resource that John and John Lighthouser and Leon Chang came up with for the M&M Game Masters kit. So it would be really great to have it in the anniversary edition of the book.
Well, you'll probably have to hit that stretch goal later on today. And the next stretch goal at 17.5 is a book plate signed by
by me, yeah, which would also be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm a simple-minded fellow who eats beef jerky and drinks off-brand beer. Could you tell me what exactly is a book plate?
Book plate basically is a, it used to be the things that people would stick inside the covers of their books that showed this book is owned by, you know, so-and-so, and it would have, you know, artwork on it and things like that. I think that, for this, you know, particular, you know, anniversary edition, the primary thing will be that, you know, it'll have my signature on it.
So you're going to personally sign...
I will personally sign as many book plates as we need to do.
Right now you got 223 backers.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of signing.
I will. Yeah, well, you know, do what needs to be done for the cause.
Oh, well, cool, excellent. Let's see, and at 2000 you get a special appendix to the book with essays by yourself, Mr. Lighthouser, and Chris Pramus, and special guests, I'm guessing, to be determined about the design development.
Probably.
Okay. And 25K, you get third edition game stats for some popular characters from previous editions.
Yeah, and we'll probably end up, you know, polling the backers at that point to find out, you know, who the characters they'd like most like us to see revisit from the earlier editions and update. Although I'm really, you know, personally hoping for the Atomic Brain. I'm a big fan.
He's pretty iconic, yeah. Hey, let me ask you a stupid question, because that's kind of my shtick. What happens if we blow the doors off this and you get, like, you know, 40K or 50K?
If things go really crazy and we shoot past all of our current stretch goals, we'll start coming up with stuff to make it even more awesome. We're already, you know, keeping an eye on fan response on our forums and on the Kickstarter itself to get a sense of what fans are thinking and stuff that they want. So, you know, if people have input for us, you know, definitely, you know, come to the Atomic Think Tank forums or, you know, comment on the Kickstarter page and let us know, because, you know, if, you know, things keep going, you know, we'll have the opportunity to do more with it.
Well, excellent. All right, well, folks, you heard him. AtomicThinkTank.com and Kickstarter, just search for Mutants and Masterminds 10th year, and
yeah,
that's how you find what he's talking about. Cool. Well, hey, Adrian, before the podcast, you had some questions about DC. Would you like to ask those?
Well, the first question was, do we know when the new DC Universe book, the fourth in the series, will be unveiled, or any random dates out there?
Well, we are getting the final stuff on DC Universe wrapped up even as I speak. In fact, I was working on some of the stat blocks earlier today. So it's finishing up in development. I imagine that from that point, I'd have to look at the layout of the schedule, but I think that we're talking about DC Universe, and it'll definitely be early next year. And that pretty much wraps out the series. The book is pretty substantial.
Is it mostly kind of world good stuff, or is there a lot of characters in there? Oh no, you've got two books full of characters, so you're kind of exhausted.
You would think, but not really.
Yeah.
there actually is a substantial number of characters in the book as well. It is primarily setting material. It basically looks at the DC universe as a setting. But there's also a lot of characters who were, you know, just didn't quite make the cut for the Heroes and Villains books. And we found homes for them in this book, particularly the historical characters, for example. So a lot of characters, there's a whole history chapter that covers the history of the DC Universe. And so characters like Arion and Sergeant Rock and a bunch of other characters who are very associated with a particular point in history rather than the modern setting. Likewise, a lot, some of the future setting characters have stat blocks in the book. And I know there's, in fact, a whole, because I'm working on it right now, there's a whole section of time traveling characters who are covered in the book as well. So there's still a fair number of characters in the book, not nearly as many as in the Heroes and Villains books, which were entirely characters, but you'll still find quite a few.
So did the New 52 kind of throw you a bit of a curveball, because it happened halfway through book one, did I think? So you I know you're doing like the iconic versions of the characters, but is
right.
there a temptation to try and mention stuff in New 52, or did they just say focus on the three?
No, we pretty much decided we were going to forge ahead with our plans as they were and stick to the most you know, iconic versions of stuff that we could, and not really get into anything about New 52, particularly because DC was very close-mouthed about their plans. So it was particularly difficult if we wanted to include New 52 stuff to get DC to give us enough information to do that in a comprehensive way. You know, we couldn't say, hey, we want, you know, Red Robin's complete new bio, so that we can include the New 52 version of the character in a book, because DC was basically, well, he's still being written and, you know, at that point, you know, the only first couple of, this was now, you know, New 52 has been going on over a year, but, you know, when the first couple of issues of Teen Titans, you know, were the new series were out, there was next to nothing to say about a lot of the characters because we didn't really know.
Yes, I think your Heroes and Villains books would have been considerably shorter by now.
Yeah, they've been very
brief. You've released so far over the year, you'd have about a handful of Superman villains, and that'd be it, really. So.
Yeah. But the good thing about it is the iconic characters is such that even when you're adapting a lot of the New 52 versions, the game stats are still extremely similar.
Yeah,
so it's not hard.
Costume as well. Just.
Hey, I think Walt had a question. Walt?
I actually have a couple of questions. First, a political one. The Lex Luthor or Dr. Doom for president?
Oh, gosh. Well, you see, that's tough because Doom has, you know, governing experience. Whereas Luthor has to just make that argument of, well, you know, I run a major multinational corporation, therefore I would make a great executive. But I think Luthor has the people skills. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Luthor was president. That's true.
I guess
if Luthor had already been president, then it would be another matter.
Well, if we want to go comic geek on this, going back to the early 80s, Doom was actually emperor of the entire planet.
Well, sure. Well, that was mind control, so I'm not sure that counts.
Okay, J. Jonah Jameson for president. That's the way to go.
There you go.
Hey, there we go. My other question was, for those of us that own pretty much the entire catalog, as far as Mutants and Masterminds go, what would be the benefit of jumping into the Kickstarter for the 10-year anniversary edition?
Well, you know, we're actually talking about that some ourselves, and looking for some additional ways to improve the Kickstarter as far as that goes. Right now it's not going to be, you know, apart from the fact that it will be a really nice, edition of the book, it's not going to be a whole lot of other content that folks who already have the Hero's Handbook and are perfectly happy with it, aren't going to have. I mean, we're going to polish it up and fix any known, mistakes that we need to fix. But until we're adding in, essays and things like that, it's not going to be a whole lot of added content. So it'll really just be a really nice hardcover edition of the game. We're looking for ways to make it a more effective buy for folks who, have already, like you said, who own every Mutants and Masterminds product that there is. And, we'd love to hear from people as far as, things that would sweeten the pot for them and, make them more interested.
That's pretty cool. The one thing I like doing is I'll set my I own a lot of the product catalog in PDF, and I'll set my tablet to scroll through PDFs while it's sitting on my desk at work, and people are always blown away by the artwork, and then they'll ask about it.
We're very lucky in that regard.
The other question I had was the deluxe Heroes Handbook versus the 10-year anniversary edition. What would be the pros and cons of one versus the other?
Well, the deluxe Heroes Handbook is going to just be a hardcover version of the Heroes Handbook. We'll, again, no doubt, update, any corrections that need to be made, but otherwise that's it. The content will be exactly the same. It'll be the same book with a hardcover on it.
Just minus all the essays and stuff.
Minus any additional content we're going to do is just going to go into the anniversary edition. And the Deluxe Heroes Handbook is just going to be a hardcover. And that's the only difference. Just because that's solely because lots and lots of people have been asking us for a hardcover edition.
And for the Kickstarter, what would be like for the person that really wants to invest in this, what's the sweet spot? What do you feel is the best bang for your buck in this Kickstarter?
Well, I think that, you're looking at, around the, mid-range, where you get, you're going to get both the PDF and you're going to get the actual book itself. I mean, I think getting, the actual print edition of the book is the big, payoff, where that's concerned. The lower levels, are nice, you know, and that you get, you know, an electronic version of it and all of that. But I think that the $60 level where you get the actual book and the PDFs and all of that is really the your best, you know, sort of bang for your buck, you know. I do like that we're doing prints of some of the previous cover art as an add-on for folks who like that stuff. Speaking of, you know, the really great art we've had for the books.
What size are these going to be in?
They're 8.5 by 11. They're the same size as the books.
That's awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Cool. Well, hey, moving on to plans for me and some masterminds. I know you guys announced the Supernatural Handbook, I think at Gen Con.
Yes. In fact, folks should be seeing some previews for Supernatural Handbook on our website fairly soon.
Okay. How is it different from the Books of Magic?
Well, Book of Magic is primarily a look at magic in a superhero comic book context. So it was really focusing on, you know, spellcasting characters who usually have Doctor somewhere in their name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Book of Magic is definitely very much a superhero source book. Intended to handle all kinds of mystic characters, especially spellcasters. Supernatural Handbook looks at a whole different genre, particularly the supernatural and horror comics. So a lot of the material in Supernatural Handbook is, rather than the characters being these incredibly powerful sorcerers, who are responsible for defending Earth's dimension against, you know, vastly powerful, you know, other dimensional overlords. The characters are more likely, you know, a ragtag group of very, very heavily armed monster hunters who are responsible for defending Earth's dimension from incredibly powerful other dimensional overlords. You know, and if they're lucky, they will never actually have to fight one.
So this is more like if you want to do a Shadow Pact RPG.
If you wanted to do something like Shadow Pact, if you wanted to do Hellblazer, if you wanted to do
Hellblazer by Top Cow.
Yep, sure. You know, BPRD. You know, a lot of those types of comics. Where the really cool Midnight Mass comic. I want to say was a Vertigo book. You know, those sorts of comics that are dealing with characters who may very well have supernatural abilities of their own, but who are, you know, dealing with really big and really, really nasty threats that are far worse than the average, you know, costumed loon that, you know, the superheroes have to deal with.
Yeah, Midnight Mass was published by Vertigo back in 2002.
Yeah, and is optioned for a TV series, I think.
Oh, yeah. The MSC brought the rights since 2009.
Yeah, which I hope comes to be, because it was a really cool book, so I think it would be a TV show.
Wikipedia says it didn't get past the scripting stage, unfortunately.
That's too bad.
That is a bummer, because there's some crap on TV right now. But, hey, Steve, what are you watching these days?
Gosh, what am I? I'm not watching a whole lot of TV right at the moment. I've been kind of busy, and I'm trying to think. I'm sorry?
Just Avengers?
Yeah, I've been keeping up on Avengers, which is almost over. Green Lantern and Young Justice are back on Cartoon Network, so I've been catching those. And I've caught parts of a couple of episodes of Once Upon a Time, which seems kind of entertaining.
I'm kind of curious what you thought about Young Justice and Green Lantern, because I haven't really checked out Green Lantern at all, and I've only seen an episode or two of Young Justice.
I'm enjoying both of them, actually. Yeah. Green Lantern has been good and is continuing to improve. I don't think this is a significant spoiler, but they just had a cameo appearance by Chip, the Squirrel Green Lantern, who's a favorite of mine.
Yeah, marvelous.
Yeah, so that was a lovely piece of fan service. in that episode, and previews for upcoming stuff suggest that Sinestro is going to become a regular character in the show pretty soon, so that has promise. And Young Justice has been quite good too. It's been a very different type of cartoon, while Avengers has been much more four color and silver agey. Young Justice has been a little edgier in some regards, and has been really kind of interesting in terms of playing around with its interpretation of the DC universe. So it's been kind of fun.
Cool. What season is that? Is it season 3 or is it season 2?
Young Justice is still in its second season, I believe.
Oh, right, because the UK only got season 1 about 2-3 months ago, and then they switched straight into season 2.
Yeah.
So we're actually catching up quite rapidly, I think.
Like, quickly, yeah. Yeah, because we're still in season 2 here, so... Mm.
Speaking of seasons, it seems like Mutant Masterminds is doing some really cool stuff where they're doing, it seems like now a yearly event, whereas the first events you had the threat books and now you have the power profiles. Mm-hmm. Is there an upcoming event that we might be hearing about anytime soon, like the next one after profiles is done?
We are wrapping up power profiles by the end of the year. I'm finishing up the last few. In fact, I think that Dimension Powers goes live tomorrow, and then for the following week is the appropriately themed Death Powers for Halloween. And I think we've got three more after that, and it pretty much wraps up. So, yes, we are planning another series for next year. I don't know if we're announcing it yet. Yes, we are planning. We've really enjoyed doing both Threat Report and Power Profiles, and the response to them has been very positive. Folks seem to really enjoy them. They're a great way of getting new material out into everybody's hands, and everybody seems to enjoy having a weekly dose of something new for Mutants and Masterminds. So that has been really good. So we're definitely planning on continuing and having a new series for next year, as well as collecting all of the Power Profiles material and doing a print edition for the whole collection, just like we did with Threat Report.
That's awesome. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
Would that be expanded upon? Will we have more powers in there as well, or will that just be the actual print version of the PDFs itself?
It'll primarily be the material that was done in the PDF series. We're talking about, John Lighthouser and I are talking about probably doing an appendix of some sort for the compilation that is, pretty much, kind of the random missing powers. Of basically asking folks once the series is all done, hey, what did we miss? Was there a favorite power we didn't get to? Is there, I've always wondered how you do whatever, sort of a thing. Just a really oddball idea, that you wanted to see in one fashion or another. And we might take a bunch of those and turn them into an appendix for the compilation to kind of round it out. But I think that the series is going to be pretty complete when it's all said and done.
I'd like to see knife powers.
I actually have those. I could send you a video.
I want it to be a subtitle. Knife powers, : snicket.
Right.
That'd make me very happy.
Sharp and pointy things.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, hey, Steve, this is a part of the podcast where I say, hey, give us a big scoop and make people green, orange, and mad and tell us something big that's going to come up in the future. You are announcing here first.
Well.
Come on, Steve. The cool kids are doing it.
Let's just say that there is not going to be a Knife Powers profile. But that may factor into something that we're doing for next year.
I'm sorry, you need to vague that up for me a little bit.
There will be knives in the future. Okay, this is all good.
Yes, there will be knives along with many, many other weapons and other sorts of things of that type.
Okay, how
about describe my average Saturday?
How about we do a lightning round where I just throw out random ideas for source books and you say maybe or warmer or colder as we go? Would that be all right?
Oh, that sounds like the average Green Ronin pitch meeting.
Sentai versus Kaiju.
That would be a cool source book. We don't have any plans for it, unfortunately.
Professional wrestling.
No, although Chris McLaughlin would pay cash money to make that source book and would probably wrestle to the mat anybody else for the opportunity to do it.
Okay, Cosmic Adventures.
That's coming.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
This is the first official on-the-record confirmation I've heard of that, sir.
Yes.
You have Dan Avnet writing some of that?
I wish we did. I don't think we can afford Dan, honestly. Because he's an artist, like, you know, comic book rock star and all that.
You know, he's doing the Battlestar Galactica series over at, I want to say, Boomer Dynamite.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, I'm a big fan of his cosmic stuff, so, you know, it would be great.
Yeah, sweet. Wow, now I'm all stunned by you saying yes to cosmic. I got, you've already done World War II. World War I?
No real plans.
Kung Fu?
No, although that would be, we kind of hit on that in Martial Powers for Profiles, so we're not really going to be doing a whole lot more with it.
Fantasy superheroes.
What's that?
Fantasy superheroes.
No, not really.
Underwater adventures.
Not as such.
Villain's Handbook.
Oh, Villain's Handbook. Well,
it was at one point.
Game Master's Guide is pretty much the Villain's Handbook in a lot of ways. You know, because it's got a whole ton of information on creating and running villains. It would be hard to come up with another comprehensive villain book that didn't duplicate a lot of that information.
Freedom City, the sewers.
Well, I can say that we definitely do plan on doing more with Freedom City.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Will you say anything more about that?
Well, you know, right now the plans are to get the Emerald City set wrapped up and out there. And after that, you know, Emerald City and Freedom City are set in the same universe. You know, they're two related settings. You know, we've always intended to eventually return to Freedom City to update it for the third edition of the game. So I think it's pretty safe to say that that's, you know, eventually in the plans.
All right, cool. Well, hey, I'll quit giving you lightning round stuff unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
I think I've probably gotten myself in enough potential trouble.
Okay, cool. Hey, Adrian, anything else you want to ask?
Is there any plans for any more adventures, like
yes,
for second edition? Excellent.
Yes, we definitely
have adventures.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely want to do more adventure support. So there are some plans in the works. You know, adventure support has been a little tricky. We haven't managed to get that on quite the same keel as releases like the threat reports and such. But we're hoping to. Adventures are tricky just because of the fact that they're both time consuming, you know, for their relative size, and also, you know, very important support products in order to have for the game. So we definitely want to do them.
Okay, cool. Walt, any other questions you'd like to bring up?
Yeah. When is the release date for Mutants and Masterminds the movie?
if we get a movie deal, I promise you, I will definitely come back on the podcast to tell you guys about it.
You heard it here, folks.
Oh, hey, while we were talking, we passed 15 grand.
All right, rock.
We're
awesome.
We're up to 15,138.
Yay, I get my random character generator.
It is definitely in there. So, hey, if we do have a Freedom City movie, do you have any actors in mind for certain key roles, like who plays Centurion?
Oh, gosh, I haven't really done a whole lot of fantasy casting of Freedom City. You know, the funny thing is, I have to say, as much as I enjoy some live-action superhero movies, I always tend to think of superheroes in terms of animation. So I guess I would probably start thinking of voice actors first. I tend to think superheroes in many regards look better as animated characters than they do.
Agree with you, Steve. Even though Avengers is pretty good, it's still not as good as a decent animated show, so, you know.
Yeah, I tend to think so, too. But, you know, I think that's just, you know, kind of the nature of the medium.
Mm.
Well, do you have any voice actors in mind then?
I'm trying to think about it. I'm not really sure.
Peter Cullen's got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
Somebody in the
match. Right, right.
Kevin Spacey is Dr. Metropolis?
Yeah, he could pull that off pretty well. He could pull that off pretty well.
Okay. Who would play Centurion?
I don't know.
I want to say Nathan Fillion just because I like Nathan Fillion. He's fun to write for
them. Yeah. Unfortunately, Nathan's got... he would have to definitely do a different accent because Centurion has much more of a... I always pictured him as having a bit more of an East Coast academic accent to him, and he has a little bit more gravitas.
So maybe Alec Baldwin.
So, yeah. Actually, Alec Baldwin could do a pretty decent Centurion.
Okay. Well, cool.
That.
All right. Well, hey, guys. I think we can go ahead and wrap up. Anybody else, anything else you want to mention? Or I hear silence. Walt,
I don't think we did.
No.
Steve?
Yeah, head over to Kickstarter. Send this thing over to 20,000.
And it'll probably be there in a day or two. So, all right. Well, hey, guys, everyone, thanks for your time. And, folks, until next time, my horrible catchphrase I use at the end of my podcast is make mine BAMF. Take
right
care, buddy. Bye.